Okay, good afternoon, everybody.
I'm going to talk about the low energy city measurement and some carrier perturbation theory tests performed at the NA40S-2SON experiment. And this is the outline of my talk. First of all, I will describe a bit the experimental setup and the main differences between NA40S-2 and the old NA48 experiment. Then I will discuss a bit the form factors and Pepper scattering measurement extracted by the K4DK. And finally, I will just give you an overview on some radiative K-on decays, mainly pi gamma, pi e gamma, and pi e. So, first of all, some history about NA48 that in the late 90s actually tested the diversity violation in the neutral CAM system by measuring the epsilon prime over epsilon parameter. Then in 2002, the first upgrade were built in order to study very rare Kershaw decays. The two main results are the measurement of the branching ratio of the decay short into pi 0, e plus e minus, and pi 0 plus e minus. Both decays as a branching ratio of the order of 10 to the minus 9. Then in 2003, the last upgrade were built. It was built and a code NA48/2. And it was built to test the diversity violation in the charged CAM system by looking at the charge asymmetry in the three pion decays, so a charge mode and the neutron mode, this one. And to test the diversity violation in the neutral CAM system, actually, NA48 used a simultaneous K short and K long beam. This was done because, in order to minimize all systematic biases due to possible detector asymmetries. For the same reason, NA48-2 actually used a simultaneous K plus and K minus beam. So starting from 400 GeV protons, starting from the SPS on SPS and impinging on a beryllium target, the two beams, K plus and K minus, are selected to be in a momentum band of about 60 plus or minus 3 GeV over C. And then using the fine collimators and magnets, the two beams are then focused and the unwanted particles are removed. The two beams are then sent into a beam spectrometer called CADES that provides very good measurement here, the track momentum with a resolution of about 0.7%, and also actually a very good measurement of the beam track position. The two beams are then sent into the decay volume here, which is about 114 meters long, and I would like to stress that for all its length, the two beams actually coincide within 1 millimeter, so they are simultaneous and also superimposed, so they actually looks like only one beam. And the ratio between the flux ratio between K plus and K minus is not 1, but 1.8. And after the decay volume, the main detector is placed. Here is a sketch. The decay products enter in that figure from the bottom left and cross all the bottom right, sorry, and cross all the detector up to the top left. The main components are a magnetic spectrometer, which is composed by four grid chambers, here in green, two before and two after the magnet. And that subdetector provides the track charge track reconstruction with a momentum resolution of about 1.5% for a 15 GeV track, GeV over C track. After the spectrometer, there is a scintillating holoscope that provides, here in blue, that one, that provides the charge track time measurement with a resolution of about 150 picoseconds. And then there is the famous electromagnetic calorimeter of NA48, which is made of liquid krypton, and it has a very good resolution, again about 1.5% for showers between 15 and 20 GeV. The detector is finally completed by another calorimeter, a muon, and a photon veto system. The trigger is divided in two parts, in two levels. The first one is another trigger which uses otoscope and DCH multiplicity to select events, while the second one is a software trigger that is implemented on an online PC farm and actually reconstruct mainly invariant masses using DCH and AKR information. The data taking was about 110 days long during 2003 and 2004, and the total collected statistics is very, very large, and this actually allows us to study very rare charge of cation decays down to Ranci ratio of the order of 10 to the minus 9. So now let's speak about the K4 decay. The K4 decay actually is the decay of a charge of cation into a charge of ion pair, an electron, and the corresponding neutrino. The dynamic of that decay can be described by five variables, fully described by five variables called Cabibbo maximum H variables, which are two invariant masses, the pion and the d lepton invariant masses, and three angles. Theta pi and theta e are actually the angle between the charged pi, the charged pion, or the charged lepton with respect to the cation decay flight, the cation fly path, and while phi is actually the angle between the d pion and the d lepton rest frame.
Very direct question, how do you measure the neutrino energy? It's divided by.
No, no, actually, yeah, on the next slide, I will show you the selection. We do not measure the neutrino. It's just a missing energy.
Missing one.
Yeah, or PT, missing moment. Yeah, transverse moment. And the transition amplitude for that decay can be written using two axial and one vector complex form factors that can be expanded in partial ways, so using SP or D waves. And we assume, we neglecting the D waves term and assuming that the phase for the P wave is the same between only the four factors, at the end one just has four real form factors, FS, FP, GP, and HP, and the phase difference, delta S minus delta P. These are actually the five parameters that we want to measure fitting the data. And to be as much model independent as possible, we also measure the dependence of the four factors and also of the phase delta with respect to the amplifier variables. And also, and we also try to check the possible dependence with respect to the lepton invariant mass. So the selection, the event selection actually exploits the topology of that decay. So we are looking for three charged tracks, two opposite sign pions, one electron and one neutrino. The electron has been identified looking at the ratio between the energy deposition in the calorimeter and the track momentum measured at the magnetic spectrometer. This ratio for an electron track must be close to one, while for muons, as an example, it should be close approximately zero, let's say. And about the neutrino, as I told you before, we just require for some missing energy, and we just look at the PT or the lens. The main background comes from three pion decays with a consequent decay, pion decay, so the pion occurs into an electron and neutrino, or the bizerodized decay. And the background has been studied mainly using data, but also cross-checked with Monte Carlo. In the end, we have the background level is something like 0.5%. And looking up only at the 2003 data set, we have found something less than 700,000 events. The two plots shows the agreement between data in Monte Carlo and also the background for the cation reconstructed energy and also for the cation reconstructed environments. Now let me just explain a bit the fitting procedure. So we defined a matrix, a grid of 15,000 boxes in the five-dimensional space of the Cabibbo maximum H variables using isopopulated beams. And at this point, the form factors are used to minimize the log likelihood estimator that actually compares the number of observed events in one beam with the number of expected events evaluated using a detailed simulation. And the assumption is that the form factors are constant within one single beam. And at this point, 10 independent fits have been performed in each one of the MPI-Pi beams in such a way to have a model independent measurement. So just to check the variation of the form factors with respect to this variable. This is again another data Monte Carlo comparison for the MPI-Pi variable. Yeah, and the agreement is very, very good. And so these are the measurements for the four form factors. as a function of the MPI. So the next step is to fit those distributions and extract the slopes of the form factors. And actually, we measure for the first time an FP term different from zero. So these are the distributions, while these are actually the values of the slopes together with the statistical and the systematic uncertainty. And because the beam geometries, the beam line for k plus and k minus are different, actually we just analyze separately the k plus and k minus data set, and then only at the end we combine back the result, taking into account the statistical precision. And with respect to previous measurements, we actually improved the form factors results by a factor between 2 and 3. Now let's talk about the PyPy scattering lamps, which can be extracted from the delta measurement. This is again the delta hour, a plot that compares our result for the delta measurement as a function of MPI with the two previous experiments, the Buchanan experiment and the Geneva Square experiment. So starting from this measurement and using actually the Roy equation, one can extract the A0 and A2 parameters, which are the PyPy scattering length for an isospin state equal to 0 and an isospin state equal to 2. And actually, there are relations between A0 and A2. And this relation, if we look at the A0 A2 plane, the relation between these two parameters is given by this band that is called universal band. Actually, the size of the band corresponds to the uncertainty on that relations. And in that plane, one can perform actually a two-dimensional fit. A first single parameter fit has been performed, constraining the A2 value to lie in the center of the universal band, and actually this is our result, where a second fit with the two parameters, so A0 and A2 are free, has been performed, and this is our value. While the black points are the results from the Buchanan experiment, and actually the agreement is not that good, and this is mainly due to this point of the Buchanan experiment, which is somehow a bit low with respect to the expectation, let's say. And by the way, the last year, it turns out that isospin symmetry breaking effect could play an important role in the extraction of the PyPy scattering length starting from the delta phase. And actually, one has to correct the phase for something about 10-12 milliradians. And in that case, measuring again after the correction the A0 and A2 parameters, our results are in very good agreement with the current perturbation theory prediction and also lattice calculation. So now let's talk about the pi gamma gamma and pi e gamma. The pi e gamma actually comes from a pi gamma gamma star decay with an internal conversion of the virtual gamma into a plus minus pair. And within the Carrier perturbation theory framework, both decays can be, the decay rate can be described as a function of the z variable, which corresponds to the gamma gamma invariant mass normalized to the KM max. There are no p to the second contribution to those decays, and the main contribution comes at the p to the fourth order, given by loop diagram. And there are also correction at the p to the sixth order. And both the decay rate and the decay spectrum actually strongly depends on a known parameter, which is CF. On the left plot, we can see how the angular gamma spectrum depends on that constant. And there is a comparison between the spectrum for a CF equal to 0 and CF equal to minus 2.3. And in another feature of that decays, that there is also a cusp-like effect near the 2 pi on threshold. And the right side plot actually shows the effect of the p to the in the correction at the p to the sixth order. And as an example, around minus 2.6, if you take into account the P26 order, the prediction for the bench ratio is something like 30 or 40% bigger than the P24 prediction. So there is an old measurement of the pi gamma gamma decay performed at Brookhaven and based on 31 events with 5 background events, but the precision of that measurement is not that good, something like 30% uncertainty, relative uncertainty. In our case, looking only at about 40% of the total collected data sample, we found something less 1200 events with a background of about 3%. The two plots shows the data Monte Carlo comparison for the top one for the Ken reconstructive mass and the lower one for the gamma gamma spectrum in the assumption of, I mean, the yellow here is the Monte Carlo of the signal in the assumption of a P26 distribution and a CIT by 2.2. And actually, this is the first clear observation of the cascade-like effect near the 2π threshold. And this, unfortunately, we cannot study the lower part of the gamma-gamma spectrum because of a trigger cut. And actually, unfortunately, I mean, this is the most interesting part of the spectrum. And the analysis is not yet finished, and we are waiting for a precise CF measurement. By the way, we already measured a model-dependent branch ratio, improving the precision by a factor of more or less 3. The pi e gamma has never been observed before. The expected branch ratio should be the order of 10 to the minus 8. And we have found, looking at the total data set, about 120 candidate events with 7 background events. In that case, the analysis has been finalized. So we have both a CF measurement and also model-independent branch ratio obtained just summing up for the branching fraction above 260 MeV. Now let me quickly go through pi e decay. Again, this is within the correct perturbation theory framework, you can describe the decay rate as a function of the MeE gamma, and we check 3 different models concerning the matrix element with 3 different descriptions of the form factor of polynomial, standard polynomial description, Carolan perturbation theory approach of P26 order, and a different version of the Carolan perturbation theory. And by measuring the form factors, you can extract a model-dependent branch ratio, but we can also measure a model-independent branch ratio just as for the pi e gamma, just summing the contribution above a certain threshold to avoid actually the pi zero kick. So this is, we found something more than 7,000 events. The left plot is the m by pi the Kenway variable constructive mass. The background is almost negligible, less than 1%. This is the reds, and the red plot shows the Z distribution, which actually contains all the information fitting that distribution. One can extract with 3 different models, one can extract the form factors. And unfortunately, with the available dataset, we are not able to distinguish between the models. And actually, these are the preliminary results, and also for the model-dependent branch ratio, given by just the combination of the 3 models, taking into account the uncertainty due to the unknown of the model. We also put a limit on the CPV parameter for the first limit, actually, for that decay. And this is just a comparison between our result and the previous measurements about the pi EP, and the results are in quite good agreement, and almost, I mean, the precision is more or less the same. Okay, this is just the summary.
Okay. Yeah. Any questions?
Is there any beyond standard model search in this game?
Well, no, actually, no. It's just testing the current recognition theory.
Any more questions? No? So then, please, thanks.